that if it's on your heart to give, please consider contributing to. I think Olivia is about to run a 5K or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
That's like,
what?
Yeah.
You already did it?
She already did it? Oh, man, I'm late. Oh, Scott, you missed out on that run, man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, she's done a 10K so
far. A 10K?
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa, wow.
Is that six? Is that six? Is that six?
It's half of 26, whatever that is.
Wow. All right. Todd, we got to tighten up, brother. We got to tighten up, fellas. We got to tighten up and get in there. Antonina may be the only one looking like he's in shape. There you go. Military dad down there drilling him. Amen. Awesome, guys. Awesome, awesome. This morning, we're going to be in John 16. Can turn there. It's great to have Ingrid back with us. Look at that. She's feeling better. Cannot even imagine. Has such a loving family. Me and Antonina was talking on Wednesday, and where I was just asking about her, and they went to see the doctor I recommend, and he was able to help a little bit. Then he went to see another doctor at the ER. But we was joking, and Anthony was like, you know, my wife's like, if he knew about this, what took him so long to give us this information about where to go see a doctor? And we just laughed the winds and said, yeah. So, but hey, man, so glad she's feeling so much better. Glad that she's here and everything, guys. John 16, you know, Jesus at this time has really been prepping just the disciples, just really building them up and just strengthening them up and just, man, getting them ready for what is to come. You know, a couple things I wanted to point out about, you know, so what are we talking about here in John 16? What are we really talking about? Jesus is talking about the world that they are about to go into and just the adversity that they're going to face. You know, who are the people that are in John 16 in this text? Jesus, the disciples, the people who call themselves believers, and the Holy Spirit. These are the people in the text of John 16. So what's happening in this text? It's called preparation. There's a term in the Army they call readiness. Military people would get that. Some of us probably get it in the world, but I want to read something to this fact. I read, it says, the U.S. Army uses the Soldiers Readiness Program, SRP, to ensure soldiers are ready for deployment. Jesus is getting his disciples ready for deployment. This program includes annual evaluations, level one, and pre-deployment assessment, level two. Additionally, the Army's Ready and Resilient Initiative focuses on strengthening individuals and unit resilience, fostering a culture of trust and supporting the Army family. Jesus is getting these guys ready to go out. They've got work to do. They've got a mission to accomplish. And unlike Jesus, who was our Lord, his earthly term was only 3 years as far as his adult ministry. They've got a long walk ahead of them. And so he's preparing them. You know, John 16 is a very rich book. To me, it's an emotional book. That's a servant leader, Jesus pouring his heart out into his people. To this point where they're ready, he knew that early on that if he just sent them out, they would not be ready for the fight. John 16, verse 1 reads, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. Fall away is a real thing. Some people struggle with that. So we're like, I know people don't fall away. They walk away. People fall away. Jesus says, he says, I've told you all this. Everything I've been telling you all the way up to this point is so that you would not fall away. That's part of his readiness program. He is building them up because he knows what they're about to face. Verse 2 says, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Wow. He says, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. There's another old saying that says, a forewarned soldier is a prepared soldier. I like to think a forewarned disciple, a forewarned believer is a what? Prepared disciple and a prepared believer. Jesus was warning them of what was going to happen. Jesus is still preparing us, his people today, about what's to come. This is saying in the scriptures here to them about, look, a time is going to come when people claim to believers, oh, they're going to want to kill you. They're going to want to harm you. They're going to persecute you in the name of God. He's saying God don't even know them. The question for you is, are you taking notes? Are you sitting up and listening and hearing what God is saying through the scriptures? Are you taking notes? Are you listening so that you will be prepared? Jesus says they will be kicked out of the synagogue. People will kill them in the name of God, thinking this pleases God, and they do these things not knowing God at all. Do you know there are 2.2 billion people in the world who identify as Christians? This is a statistic. I just wanted to look up and just kind of get some type of gauge on today statistics. It says, but from that same statistics assessments, there is a belief that there are only 6% have a biblical worldview. I did the math. That equals to 132 million people out of 2.2 billion who may actually know their Bible. That means the other people will kill you or persecute you or attack you in the name of a God they don't know. Jesus was preparing them. He is preparing us today too, because it's happening. A lot of people, especially, all of them can speak to America. A lot of people here in America is God and country. I have friends outside of church, God and country. I listen, I'm open, I listen. I look at lives and I'm like, oh dude. It's kind of like Todd said this morning, if we go in there's alligator chasing, for sure you're going to throw me in front of that alligator. You're going to sell me out for good. Lord, I did it in your name. Somebody had to live. But there are people like that, and it's sad. You know, Matthew 7, verse 15 says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. The wolves are those who pervert the gospel, and at the same time, they are often those who obedient, of course, until tested. In my early days when I was a young Christian in Chicago back in 1995, may have been a disciple only maybe 6 months. It was in the winter. We was at Hillcrest Church of Christ building. And there were some people who used to be disciples, disgruntled, mad with the church. And so they wanted to come in and bum rush the church. We were meeting that on the midweek and take over. They posted me at one door, another brother, another door, and it was snowing, practically almost blizzarding, and snow everywhere. These were former members of God saying, you shouldn't be there. They're wrong. No, God don't want this. I still see it to this day. I ain't have no clue. I was just excited to be in the kingdom. I was like, well, amen. What, we going to protect the kingdom? I was out there, no jacket on. I remember my zone leader at the time, like, are you sure Sydney going to be okay? And mother got like, trust me, he's fine. I was fine. But the attack didn't come from the world. It came from those who say they believe in God. We always think that persecution, harm for us, is going to come from the world. Mm-mm. It's going to come from those who say they believe in God. And yet they do not know their Bible. Why does Jesus mention the synagogue? Why is the synagogue important? Probably still is a building where a Jewish assembly or congregation meets for religious worship and instruction. Wow, that sounds familiar. The primary purpose of a synagogue is to serve as a house of assembly for Jewish worship, study, and community gathering. Sounds familiar. It's a place for communal prayer, Torah reading, and the celebration of religious festivals. Synagogues also function as community centers, fostering social and educational activities and providing a space for charitable work. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like the church building, don't it? Did they have a giveaway here yesterday?
Yes.
Charitable giving. Wow. We're here for worship, aren't we? We have Bibles in our hand, don't we? We do prayer here, don't we? There will come a time that they will put you out of the church and they don't even know God. Amazing. Jesus is forewarning us. He is preparing them, just as he has prepared us, to be sent out into an unfriendly world. If they had not been prepared for this, if they had not known why Jesus was about to die, and they would have fallen away and abandoned the mission. I think Jesus did a good job by not just saying, I'm Jesus, I'm here, you're baptized, go do your thing. I think he did a good job of investing in each and every person on his team. As disciples, we need to invest in the people who are coming in the church. We just not only need to baptize them, but we need to raise them up. We need to teach them. We need to groom them, shape them, and help them to be prepared for the world that we live in. Because our world is torn. It is divided. And there are men and women alike out there screaming, Jesus this and God that. But if you know your Bible, you can look and say, that is not of God. We need to imitate Jesus. We need to have the same heart Jesus had. And everybody that has a curiosity or wants to be a part of God's kingdom, we need to take the time to invest and prepare them for what they're facing. I was talking, I've had the privilege of talking with a couple of young men over this week, and two different scenarios. Studying with one, just kind of met one, talking with one. And one, he leads a small church somewhere else, but he wants to, we talk, he says he wants to preach. Hey, man, that's good. I'm going to preach the gospel. But he's really excited about wanting to preach. Did I say he was excited about wanting to be a preacher? And I remember sharing, I said, it's so much more to be in that role of a servant leader in God's church than just preaching. It looks so good, especially if it's on your heart. You see somebody up there speaking like, I can do that. I can stand before everybody. Look at my feathers. Aren't my peacock feathers very beautiful? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm a preacher. I said, man, it's much more than that. There's so much servitude in that thing. You've got to pour your life out to your people. That's what Jesus did. He is just pouring his life out to the disciples. And still to this day, although our Lord is not here in the flesh, he is pouring his life out to each and every one of us through every man and woman who gets up and speak, or every man and woman who sits down with you one-on-one. He is pouring his life out to you, trying to make sure that you are ready and you are prepared to face the world that you will wake up to every day. Because every day you wake up, you feel like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want nothing to do. I'm just not feeling it. That's how you feel some days. And then some days you feel like, I can take everything on. It's a good day. But I'm telling them, man, it's more than that. You know, it's more than that. You know, being like Jesus, you've got to serve and you really got to pour your life into other people. What about you? Are you willing to pour your life into other people? Lord and Savior, do you want to pour your life into other people? Everybody's not always going to be peaches and ice cream. They're not always going to do what you want them to do. They're not always going to be the good little soldier. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They're not going to be that. You're going to find out they have a mind of their own, an attitude of your own that you just don't like. You're gonna find out they have emotions of their own. You're gonna like, why, Lord? Why I got to be in their life? Why me? Why can't it be somebody else? I don't think I'm the right person for the job. And God like, oh no, you are it. You are it. Are you willing to pour your life into somebody else who's looking for God? And you know that God makes it clear to you by his Holy Spirit that guess what? They need God. Are you willing to do that? So after Jesus gives them this first little warning, the reason why I didn't tell you everything up front was because you would fall away. I needed to build you up, needed to get you ready, needed to let you know what's come. So now I think you're ready for this information. But then we're going to jump further down to Jesus says, now you need some help on this journey because you won't be able to do it on your own. And down in John 16, verse 7, he says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. You know, when you get attached to somebody and you've been with them for a while and they tell you it's good that they're going away, you can have some kind of issues with that. Wait a minute, I think it's good what we got going on right now. You know, why you have to leave? Well, I mean, why we got to break this up? But Jesus says, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. Where you can see me no longer, I should say. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. So why do we need aid? Why do we need help? Why do we need guidance? If we as disciples are left to ourselves, we would fall away and perish. That's number one. We need help because if we're left to stand on our own without our Lord or any help from our Lord, we would fall away. People have given up on life on lesser things. That's just true. People have quit over issues that have been lesser than the value of life. They just do. Why do we need aid? Why do we need help and guidance? To keep us focused on the mission that Jesus has given us and to stay on the path. There are so many distractions that pull us away from Jesus. We live in a world of social media. Oh my goodness, inundated, man, inundated. There was a school, well, in several states, I should say, they're trying this. And they did this test run on a high school. So when the kids came to school, they pulled all the cell phones, every electronic device. They did it for a whole month. They said the first week, some kids were punching walls. Give me my phone. Give me my phone, punching walls. They say it was, they would be in the cafeteria, and they say they would be in the cafeteria banging the table. Just banging the table. God, no. Just inundated. Social media and addiction. I recently seen a thing about a young man who, him and his dad, they seemed to be close. Dad was a preacher. His son ran a track, wanted to play football. They would play Madden football in the game, but his dad would never let him play any type of shooting game. One just kills you slowly. One kills you all the way. That's the way I took it as like. But the young boy got hurt. And he got hurt in real bad. Some kind of accident got hurt real bad. And so when he got hurt bad and he couldn't pursue football no more, and so he was all for recovering, and he went to a friend's house, and they started playing a game called Halo. I remember this game. My sons love this game, Halo, shooting game. And he just fell in love with this game, just loved it. So much so, he would stay at his friend's house over the weekend, playing 16, 18 hours, locked in. It became an addiction for him. He wanted to get the game. Halo 3, wanted to get the game. Dad said, no. The boy snuck out the room, went and bought the game from GameStop, came back, parents caught him, took the game, locked it in Dad's lockbox where Dad keeps his gun. And so the boy was mad, and so the boy went to stay with a friend's house for a while, said, I didn't want to, you know, if I can't have the game, I want to stay here or whatever. came back, and somehow snuck in. He took his dad's keys, they keep in his key ring, opened the lockbox, got the game, seen the gun, got the gun, came out, killed his dad over the game.
Wow.
Social media can be dangerous.
Uh-huh.
It can be dangerous. It's crazy, and the rest of it is that when he killed him, he was getting ready to watch a baseball game. He had no idea that his older sister and his older sister's husband was coming over to watch the game with the parents. And he tried to lie and say, Mom and Dad are not feeling good. They busted in, see what was going on and everything. The boy was 16. So many distractions in this world that would take you off on the wrong path. So many distractions. That's what God said. You need the Holy Spirit. There's a lot, but this world is very busy. It is very busy. You need help. On your own, you cannot fight against the prince of this world. You just will not survive. You have to ask yourself, what are your distractions? We have them. We have them. I know my coworkers at work. So I work from home. I'm a contractor. But my coworkers at work, you know, I see them sometimes, you know, they pick their phone up. They should probably when I walk in there on a Thursday. That's your thing. But distractions. You know, what are your distractions? What distractions do you need to eliminate in your life to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. What distractions do I need to eliminate my life to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? You know, the instructions of the Bible and the help of the Holy Spirit has been given to us to keep us faithful. Will you rely on the resources that God has given you for a faithful walk going forward? Will you do that? Now, if you rely on your own strength, I can tell you, you won't get far. God has designed us to get old, feeble. We will not be running no 10K like Olivia. We make them walk a 3K. Depending on if you take care of your body, but you will not be doing that. Finally, guys, John 16, verse 12, talk about the spirit of truth. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So get this. At the first part, he says, I didn't tell you a lot at the beginning because I was afraid that you would fall away. I knew that you would fall away. Now, down this verse, he says, there's a lot more to tell you, but you're not ready for that because you cannot bear that. A true leader, a servant leader, gives you only what you need to hear at a certain time. It allows you to process that information, take hold of that information, manage that information so that you can be ready for what's to come down the road. Jesus is a great servant leader. He says, hey, look, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. If you know anything about the book of John we're going through far, if you have noticed this pattern, Jesus says, everything I say is what who tells him to say? That's right. And he said, the Spirit is only going to do and say what who tells him to say? Jesus. The unity. They work together. Isn't that powerful? I've heard people say, I wish God would just tell us what to do. Jesus said, I'm telling you what God is telling me to tell you to do. And the Spirit said, guess what? The Spirit's going to tell you what Jesus tells you to do. He's telling you all the time. Sometimes it's just this, what? I don't want to hear it. I don't like it. That's a little hard, God. I don't like it at all. But as I've said before, you probably hear me say it again. I said it to this other young man yesterday. You do not wrestle with Scripture to change it. You wrestle with Scripture to surrender to it. I'm talking to a lot of people who are threading the line or pushing the line to wanting to change the Bible to fit the way their narrative, fit the way they want it to fit. I said, no, sir, that is a no-no. You do not wrestle with Scripture to change it. You wrestle with the Word of God to surrender to it. Maybe it's going to take you 6 days and then you can rest on the seventh. You see something that bothers you in the Bible, or you don't like it, or you don't understand it, or it's complex or complicated, the first thing you need to do is, well, I need to pray and I need to wrestle with scripture to surrender, because if God said it, it is what it is. That's it. And if you need an example about that, well, I have the ladies here, Sophia and Marianne. Mom and dad are not perfect, but they're so loving, aren't they? They are. So mom and dad would say some things you don't like, right? But we don't wrestle to change it, do we? I know, like, I don't know, Mr. Sidney, I don't know. I know. I get you more than I get you. Even your mom and dad get it, because they were young too. They were your age too. But we find a way to submit to mom and dad. We have to trust. They had to do it when they was growing up too. It's a part of life. God gives us that example. Whenever you find yourself struggling with God, think about you growing up as a little kid. God said, this is what it's like. And then on the other hand, when you are a parent, and someday you will be a parent, you'd be like, man, this is what it's like being like God, raising a little one. God always gives us everyday things to connect with him. We all are kids. You know, our Lord was always careful to give his disciples the right amount of truth at the best time. This is always the mark of a great teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher today, and he follows that same principle. He teaches us the truths we need to know when we need them and when we are ready to receive them. It is essential that we see that the work of the Spirit of God is never divorced from Jesus Christ or the Word of God. He shall testify of me. That's spoken in John 15, 26. He shall glorify me. That is spoken of in John 16, 14. People who claim that the Spirit of God led them to do things contrary to the example of Christ or the teachings of the Word are mistaken and are being led astray by Satan, the prince of this world. Jesus is the truth. The Word is truth. That's in John 17:17, which is coming up. And the Holy Spirit is the truth. That's in John 16:13. Where the Holy Spirit is at work, there must be truth. I'm big on this. You've heard me say this before. You need to be a lover of the truth, point blank. Whether it makes you uncomfortable, make you unhappy, whether you agree with it or not, you need to be a lover of the truth. And God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are truth. The Spirit of God does not ignore either the Father or the Son. They work harmoniously together. I remember when Parker used to be here, and that's the first I ever heard this, and he was on campus. He said, you know, there's this thing that goes around where people says, my truth. My truth is that carries a lot of weight. And I remember saying, well, does their truth have a heaven and hell? Only God has a heaven and hell. I think Matthew 10, 25, 28 says, don't fear the one who can only kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and the soul and do what with it? Throw it into hell. My truth is not genuine. The truth offered by the world lacks real substance. The only truth that truly matters is the truth of God, the truth of Jesus, and the truth of the Holy Spirit. Question, going forward, whose truth will you live by? That's the question. Who truth will you live by? I appreciate the work and labor of love that Jesus puts into us. He prepares us for the journey into an unfriendly world. He warns us of false sheep in the flock who will eventually persecute you, threaten you, and try to kill you in the name of God that you know, but that they do not know. He sends us a helper, an aid, and a guide to be with us, because he knows without the Holy Spirit, we're tempted to fall away and fall into the world. Going forward, whose truth will you live by? Will it be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or will it be this world? Let's make every effort, guys, to be the best disciple we can be. To God be the glory. Amen.